Welcome to Into the Nuance, compassionate, evidence-based pre-med advising. Join us each episode as we unravel the complexities, debunk myths, and explore the many paths to medical school. Whether you're a freshman or a pre-med veteran, we are here to provide informed, realistic, and hopeful advice on your journey. Tune in for interviews with experts, stories of triumph, and useful tips as you continue towards medical school. This is Into the Nuance, and we are so glad you're here.
Hello, pre-meds. We're so excited to be back with you. My name is Joanne Snapp from My Honest Advisor, and I am joined by my friends Amanda and Doug.
Hey guys, I'm Amanda from The Brem Method.
And I'm Doug with iCustomProp.
So we were thinking of what's going on right now in the application world. And one thing that I know I've been getting a ton of questions about with my advisees is CASPER and Preview. It's kind of shocking to me that I keep meeting people who are coming to me for the first time and they've never heard of these tests. Like they didn't know they have to take two more tests in addition to the MCAT. Do you guys have that experience with people? Like they don't know about these tests?
Certainly. Hear it every single day of like, I thought I was done with tests. And, you know, and also they don't know which ones they have to take because sometimes they got to take both. Sometimes they only need to take one. Sometimes they need to take both the other. But you know, you gotta just, it depends on your school list and it's a shock to the system when you find out, oh man, two more.
The questions I get, cause I'm just MCAT, right? Is do I need to study for these? Like, do I need to have a study plan? Should I be buying resources? And I think there's just not a lot of information cause they're pretty new, right?
Yep. And there are people out there trying to capitalize on this and they have YouTubers and now people are writing study books on the preview, which is just absolutely crazy to me. But it's funny because, you know, I know I've told my story before about, you know, my journey and this all started. Oh my gosh, I don't remember what year it was. It was probably around 2012. So a long time ago. I was at an AAMC national conference for medical schools, and the AAMC came to a group of, we were all the directors of admissions were sitting in a room, and they came in the room and they were like, we're going to talk to you about something. And we're like, okay. And they're like, we want to roll out this thing called the situational judgment test, the SJT. And we're all like, okay. And they're like, this is what we want it to be. And the reason they wanted to roll out the SJT is because they said way back then that they continue to see people getting through the medical school system, getting into residency, becoming physicians, who continue to have, honestly, like behavioral problems, like personality problems. And they said, okay, your interviews are not catching them. You need, you know, we've got to do something else to catch these problems. And I remember the room so clearly, the people like erupted. They were like, no, we don't need another test. Like, we don't want another test. We don't want any more scores to look at. Like the applicants are doing enough. Please don't do this. That was the reaction from the med schools back then. And I never heard anything else about it until I became an advisor. And then lo and behold, there came CASPER, which is not an AAMC test. So that was really interesting. And for years, it was just CASPER. And then out of nowhere comes the AAMC preview. And I remember I was at another conference. And when they got in front of the room and they did that presentation in front of all the pre-health advisors, I was the only person that kind of raised my hand. It was really awkward. And I was like, so did you talk to CASPER? Are you guys working together? Or are you just making students take two tests now? And they're like, no, we didn't talk to CASPER. They're just taking two tests now. I was like, okay, cool. Just checking.
CASPER got it started in Canada, actually. So it started out as Canadian only, and then it started moving south. And mm-hmm. So once that started coming into being, that sort of opened the door to both of these things. And CASPER is more widely used outside of med schools. So the preview exams only just for med schools for the AMC. So like if you're applying DO schools, you're not going to be looking at a preview exam. You're going to be looking at CASPER, if anything.
Well, there's three DO schools now that are using preview, which I find really interesting, right? Like now the AAMC is working with DO schools. That's new. That was this year. Last year, it was just DMU. And now there's a couple more that are using preview. I have no idea what's going to happen with these tests, but I guess we'll just tell you a little. I mean, if you don't know what these tests, what we're talking about, the whole idea of an SJT, a situational judgment test, is when someone is put in a situation, you behave hypothetically in a natural way. So kind of to go back to my story about the med schools, when the med schools, after the med schools reacted to this, there was a bit that was right around when MMIs took off. And I think that was in response to that situation, because what we started to see at med school interviews were lots and lots of live SJTs happening. So back in the good old days before COVID, med schools would actually have acting scenarios where you would walk in the room and let's say you're on your med school interview and there would be a person like sitting on the floor crying and they're recording you and they're watching your behavior. So your natural reaction to seeing somebody cry, and guess what they're doing? They're judging you on the situation. I personally love it. I'm like, yeah, everybody preps for interviews and, you know, really bad people can lie their way through a traditional interview. But if you're the type of person that can't console someone who's crying, that's going to come out naturally, right? That should catch those problems. But then COVID put a squash to all that.
So I guess like the question I get a lot with students is like, what is this test wanting from me as a student? Like, and I think that's where, you know, the literature around the test, as far as like when I read up on it, says like, don't prepare, right? Like you're not supposed to prepare. It's supposed to be your natural response. And at the same time, there is definitely a specific response they're looking for, right? Yeah. So what are your guys, like when you talk to a student about thinking about these exams and like what they are and how to prepare for them, what is the objective? Like, you know, like other than just assessing their judgment, like what is the goal for someone who is a good candidate for medical school to respond in that situation? Or, you know, what is the situational judgment that's appropriate for a medical student?
That's a great question.
First thing that I would say in response to your question is that test and exam, I don't like that those words are attached to these things, because it does make them sound like they're preppable and they're not. You can prep, but you can't really prep. You prep by just learning what the structures are of the questions, like what kinds of questions are you going to be asked and how are they going to be asked? And they're different. Like, so the preview exam has got mostly Likert scale type questions where you're like, I strongly agree, strongly disagree, that type of response. And the Casper has written responses where you're writing out how you would respond in a certain situation. And so like that, I think, is the prep you have to do to some extent, is just learn how those two different things function so that when you go in, you're not surprised. You're not going like, oh, I didn't realize what I was up against. I don't think you need to go to such extent that you're preparing specific responses for specific questions, however. So what do you think, Joanne?
Yeah, I mean, the preview has AMC has a really nice book that they put out for a preview. It's 30 questions, 86 pages, and it gives you a breakdown. So you can take all the practice questions, and then it actually explains to you why each answer is the way it is. Now, I do this a lot with my applicants, and what we've discovered is there's no consistent logic. So you figure out like, okay, so when, you know, they really want you to try to solve your friend's problems in one question. You're like, okay, cool. All the answer options where you're solving your friend's problems are, you know, very effective. And then you'll go to another question and it's like, you would think, oh, they want us to solve this problem. And in that case, it's like, no, don't go talk to the professor. And you're like, mm-hmm. What you just said. So it's really hard for applicants to figure the test out. I've been looking at it a lot over the last 3 years and I can't figure it out for the most part. There are some real cut and dry things. If you have common sense, you should be fine. Mm. But Casper is more of a thinking test. It's more showing how you think through your problems. It's more being able to show empathy by recognizing everyone in the situation, even those who aren't physically there. It's seeing both sides of a situation. So never operating in this black and white world where there's only a right and a wrong way to do it. It's usually best if you kind of hover in the gray and you're like, I can see why this is complicated. If you have to make a decision, then acknowledge what's complicated about that decision.
So it's like, I would say it sounds like advice we give is like learn the format, right? Just like any test, you want to learn how the style of the exam is and the timing and all of that, so you're prepared for what you're about to do. But do you otherwise say like kind of don't worry about it? Like just go have a good time? Or is it something that like you want to spend some time thinking about and doing ahead of time for your applicants?
Well, I know there's two different kinds of applicants. There are people who I could say that to, and they're going to be like, sure, I'm fine. I trust you, Joanne. I'm not going to study for it. And whatever happens, happens. And then there are a lot of other, you know, a bulk majority of people really can't think about a test and just go into it like that and just be mm-hmm. like, whatever happens, happens. Most people are really anxious about it. So they want some kind of preparation. They want to feel prepared. And I think that's where, as advisors, we can say with a huge, you know, disclaimer, I'm not an expert on this test, mm-hmm. but I'm going to just talk to you as a professional person. This is what I would, this is what I'm thinking about it, right? This is a prompt. This is what I think about the prompt. This is how I might answer it. I'm not claiming I know the answer, because you don't know, you couldn't possibly know the answer to Casper. They don't share any information about how they're graded. But this is what I think they might be looking at. I have no idea. So as long as I think we're being honest with students about what we actually can or can't possibly know about it, I feel ethical in that way, being able to help people. But in truth, I can talk to 10 people and tell them the exact same thing about Casper. Half of them will do extremely well and half of them will do very, very poorly, hearing the exact same information.
Yeah. And so on that note, one of the criticisms I've heard from Casper, both from my students and from advisors and admissions officers, is that the scoring system is pretty under wraps. And so, you know, if a student's like, so does a student even get their score? Will they ever know how they score on Casper versus Preview? And what should they take away, if anything, from that?
So I can actually shed some light on the scoring of Casper, because it was like NAP 2 years ago, where is that? Which, if you don't know what it is, the National Advisors of Health Professions Conference. And I talked to the Casper folks. I like intentionally went in there to try to elucidate something going on, the scoring on that. And it's completely subjective. Literally, that's what the scoring is done on. There's 10 different evaluators for the 10 different questions. There might be a different number of questions at this point, but each evaluator listens to or goes through one of the answers, and they're evaluating all of those for a lot of people. And they rank them on a scale of 1 to 10 on what's the response. And then each of those rankings on those responses is averaged together to make the overall rank for the test, the overall score on the test. So at the end of the day, it depends on the individual that's looking at that. And it depends on, are they being consistent from one to the next to the next? You know, are they tired of looking at them? And I don't know, it could be part of it too. It's just a very subjective scoring system. There's no way to objectively know what that score is. But the good news is, even if you get a one, I've seen people get ones on the Preview or on the Casper test, and they haven't had to deal with it. It's just fine. They're still getting into med schools. So it's even hard to know how schools are using
it.
Like, right? If a person that gets a 10 gets in and a person that gets a one that gets in, what is it? It doesn't matter. So I find it difficult to say that score is being used in any quantitative way, I suppose.
And well, for the last 3 years,
tell us that either.
Yeah, I think the med schools have been pretty open about using Preview for the last 3 years for pure research purposes. They're trying to identify what type of predictive value the test has. And I mean, they have to track it over, you know, 4 or 6 years into residency, even to see what, you know, what the scores correlate with. So I think it may in 3 or 4 years become a valuable test, but you're right, Doug, like as of right now, neither Casper nor Preview has had any, for me, any predictive value in terms of who's successful or who's not.
So it's not going to make or break your application cycle. So I think that's a good takeaway for students, is like, you got to do it, right? Mm-hmm. You have to do it if it's a requirement of your school, and you should like do your best and read up on it and prepare. And, you know, it's not like the MCAT, which is, you know, correlated with success in an application cycle, at least not yet. Right. And maybe considering yourselves as guinea pigs in this process, as we're doing research on these new tests, that's the kind of vibe I'm getting from it. When I went to those conference meetings as well, is that it's very much in the, like, let's see if it has a relationship to potential future doctors with behavioral problems or not, right? And those kinds of things.
But here's the real kicker. Where else do you have to pay to be a guinea pig?
Right. So that gets into a good question. What are the costs of each of the tests, and, you know, what should students prepare for in terms of the financial burden on this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Last year preview was 100 and you could submit it to unlimited schools. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember what the cost of preview was. It was something like, it used to be $12 a school. I think when they sold it to the new company, the price went up a little bit. But I didn't check this year to see what the prices are. Do you know, Doug?
Yeah, I remember Casper being $12 like per school, right? That you sent it to?
Yeah, you have to pay
up the Casper price, right?
Yeah, I think I don't remember. Do you remember which year Casper came out? Like the first year they were using it? Because when I applied in 2017, I had to take it. And I remember there was no literature around it at that point. Like no one knew what it was. I was only for like 3 or 4 schools. And I remember just like totally winging it. Like I just went in there and was like, what are these questions? And I have to film myself. So like at least, you know, now there's enough stuff where like people can say like, this is the types of questions that were on there. But I remember I like looked it up on Google and there was nothing really about Casper, which is wild.
I became a pre-med advisor in 2014. And I'm actually like so mortified to think about what I used to tell people back then when we had no information. I used to joke because nobody knew what to say about it, you know, just like trying to help people, but we didn't know. So I'd always tell people, you know, don't prep for it. Just, you know, really it's not going to be a problem for you unless, you know, you have some kind of major personality issues. I used to be like, oh, it's just a, you know, it's a test screening for sociopaths. Like I would really minimize the test. And I think, you know, again, somehow, some way, those people made it into med school despite the test. Now, with so much information available, I think the applicants today are way more savvy and way more information and understanding about how things work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be curious to see if more research comes out about these tests.
Mm-hmm.
So I did just look up the Casper price, and it looks like it's variable depending on what schools are depending on what type of program you're looking at it. So if it's a dental school using it, it looks like it's a different price than if it's med school. But since we're in med school here, allopathic med schools, it's $85 to submit, to take the test and submit to up to 7 schools. And it's $18 a pop for each school after that. So just hope that you only have to do 7.
Yeah.
My guess is that there are going to be schools dropping it soon.
Yeah. In favor of preview or in general?
I just have this feeling it's going to drop.
Mm.
I think this was a fad that's probably going to go away. And the reason I say that is because after that talk that Doug was talking about, the presentation where the woman who had created Casper, I think you were there too, Amanda, weren't you?
I wasn't at the national conference 2 years ago. So,
well, she stood there, you know, she's the one who, it was her brainchild. Like she literally created Casper, and she did that huge talk in front of, you know, hundreds of people. And there was such a backlash from the audience. Oh, it was awful. The whole talk was supposed to last an hour, and it lasted like 2 hours because the audience was just unrelenting with wanting explanations, because they told us about the test and then they wouldn't tell us anything about, like Doug said, anything about the methods of grading it. They just kept saying, oh, we have a scientific process, you know, you have to trust us. And we're like, we're advisors. We're not just going to trust you at face value.
You see the data
information, you know? So anyway, there was such a backlash at that point that NAAHP, the Advisors Association, created a task force to investigate Casper.
Really? And
I have no idea what happened with that task force. I don't know where they are with it. But soon after that presentation, it was just a few months later, she sold that company to another company. Now, I'm not saying there was any correlation there. She might have already been in the works. But now we have no information about this new company and how they're doing it. There's even less information than there was before. And so if there was already a task force investigating it, my guess is that word on the street is not a good thing.
So I guess that brings to like a more general philosophical question is, do you guys, in your opinion, think that there does need to be some sort of measure of situational judgment, which is, you know, code for, you know, are you an empathic, capable person who's going to be respectful of others? Like, is there a need for that? Mm-hmm. Or in your experience, do med schools generally screen effectively for it in their application process? And this was kind of just like a jump on the bandwagon fad.
I think there's a need for it. Mm. You agree, Doug?
I'm actually on the other side of that answer. I don't think there's a need for it if the interview process was done better.
Okay, well, that was my, I was going to say, yes, I think it should stay in the interview world.
Yeah, because number one, you're adding cost to an already costly process. And by just introducing an additional test, or in this case, potentially two tests that people have to take. And there's also, if you, we haven't even mentioned it, but there's also Duet and Snapshot that might also be required by some of the schools, which are like, they're little addendums to the Casper test.
And I love Snapshot.
Even more.
What are both of those?
So Snapshot, in my opinion, I think Snapshot should be used everywhere. I don't know why schools would not do this, but basically it's like a pre-interview. They ask you a couple of questions and you record your answers and then the school sees your video. It's like a video introduction and they get that with the secondaries. So often people's applications, they're just reduced to, you know, their name, their number, and a bunch of writing on pages, but Snapshot brings them to life.
Mm. So Snapshot, I agree. I think Snapshot's an okay thing. Because it's not unlike Kira-ish, but like going back to the cost though, we keep adding all these costs, making it even harder to like a bigger barrier to entry to get into these things. That's one big problem that I think these create. Second thing is interviews can be designed to flush this out way better and more effectively than an arbitrary subjective scoring system or pseudo objective with the Likert scales like the preview has. And it just requires the med schools to work on that interview process. And that's where I think we're running into troubles right now, because I think COVID is a big driver of a lot of this, because in-person interviews versus online interviews, in-person interviews are so much more awkward than in-person interviews. Did I say that right? Online interviews are far more awkward than in-person interviews, because you're staring at a screen and you don't know where to look. Are you looking at the camera? Are you looking at the face? Are you looking here? And like all these other things are happening that make it harder for the individual to come across the right way. So, I mean, if I were king for a day, I suppose, you know, I would turn it back into in-person interviews. Although I know that puts another cost in there.
Well,
right?
I was about to say,
so is there a good solution, right?
Right. Cause I was about to say, like, I had a long conversation with a student. She got into school and it was really exciting. And she's like, part of that is I wouldn't have been able to afford doing the interviews I did. And I was so lucky that they were online, because the school that I probably would have not interviewed for, cause it was too far away, was the one that accepted me. And she's like, I just keep thinking back to like, if it was pre-COVID, I probably wouldn't have been able to afford to go to the interview. And so I totally get what you mean, Doug. Like on a one-to-one level, in-person interviews are so much more authentic to that person. But on the other hand, if it's allowing for more equity, right, it's a challenging thing. And then, you know, you can't offer both, right? Because it's apples to oranges, an online interview.
Yes, they do.
They do?
Yep.
I find that would be so hard, right? to like, compare an online interview to an in-person. Like, it's such a different thing.
Loyola does that. They have both in-person. Hybrid, and I've had people get in from both. I'd like to think that they are preferring one over the other. I've always encouraged my applicants, if they can afford it, to take the time to go to the interview. I hear you with the equity thing, but I don't know. There's this other part of me that is, having run the interview days for a medical school, we used to joke that, you know, anyone can hold it together for 45 minutes. And by anyone, I mean people with really, you know, serious personality disorders. But if you, you know, if you're around someone for 6, 7, 8 hours and they have to be on all day long, they will start to crack at certain points. And if you put pressure on them in the right way, so the SJTs in person used to put the right kind of pressure on them. And what I mean by that is someone who has like a narcissistic personality disorder, oftentimes they don't, you know, they don't want to look bad. They don't want to fail. They don't want anyone to kind of see them as wrong or, you know, failing. So if you put them in a situation where someone's yelling at them, or, you know, they, it seems as though they made a mistake and the person in the situation is unrelenting with the criticism and the feedback, like you're not smart. You did this, you did that. What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. That person will show signs physically of being upset. And I think that that is so valuable in recognizing those types of things. Whereas can you hold it together over Zoom? I think you can. I think that if they're just asking basic questions, which is what I see happening more and more now, we're kind of reverting back from harder questions to all of, like last year, I heard so many people tell me, oh, it was very conversational. We talked about soccer. We talked about hiking. And I'm like, cool. Now, I that's how we're picking people again. You like soccer. I like soccer. Great. You're going to be a great doctor one day. That's not how it should be.
And ideally, maybe one of these things like a Casper or an SJT or whatever it is could do that job asynchronously, but not if we don't know where the bar is. Like, where is that bar? What is?
And is it measuring, is there internal validity? Not to bring in an MCAT term, but is it measuring what it thinks it's measuring?
Right.
You know, that's something we talk about in psych social all the time when designing human studies is, are we accurately measuring what we think we are? And I think one of the concerns, which are valid with these kinds of tests, is do we have enough data to really say that we're measuring what we think we're measuring, right? Because it's a hard thing to measure, situational judgment, and to put a number on it, right? Yeah. So
I mean, it's right there in the name, judgment.
Yeah, right. It's very challenging. And I think it just gets into the fact that, like, this is why this whole process is challenging, right? Like, challenging for the students, but it's also challenging for the admissions officers to make good decisions and to design something in a way that puts pressure on applicants, but also allows them to shine effectively, right? Like one of my students was telling me about an interview she did where one of the interviewers was horrible to her. And she's like, I'd heard that that was intentional, like that they were mean on purpose. And she's like, but it still was horrible and I hated it. And it was, you know, like, it's never fun when someone's coming in out of the blue yelling at you. So I do think, like, you know, also is that showing that student's ability to, you know, pivot and do all those things, like in a video setting, like, is that something that like can be done effectively? Or does there need to be another way that's not like a pre-recorded video and a response on text, right? So,
yeah.
It's just challenge. I am grateful that I'm not an admissions officer, I think is what I'm learning about this process, because it is tough to figure out the right questions to ask.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I just take, the way I look at it is I try not to get into a, this is right, this is wrong. It is what it is, right? Like this decade, we're doing Casper in preview. Next decade, we'll probably do something different, because last decade it was SJT interviews. So I don't know where we're heading. I know that they're trying to figure out how we can identify the best people to become physicians. And for that, we should be grateful. For that, we should be appreciative that that's the goal of all of this, right?
And I do have to say, like, you know, this is only my second year attending these types of conferences with advisors and admissions officers, but it's so cool to see how many people in the world of pre-med advising and medical admissions, like, attend these conferences and how well attended they are and how there's lots of conversations around this. Like, it's kind of like government, right? Where it's not easy to make changes and it's not easy to make a consistent change across like a whole country of medical schools, but it is nice to know that there are people having conversations around this, and that like if Casper and Preview aren't working, you know, there'll probably be some change. Like it won't just like stay around just because, right? And I think that's why they changed the MCAT too, right? They found that the MCAT was no longer lining up to the types of metrics they were looking for. And so they made a change. And now it's harder, but it's also more accurate. So
that's a whole nother thing we can talk about. Bring it in a whole nother combo. It's a harder test. I think it's actually honestly a bit easier than it used to be.
Well, if you're looking purely on length and reading time, it's a more challenging test. But I do think it measures more accurately what they were intending to measure. And I'm appreciative that, you know, they're making those kinds of changes, because there's a lot of grad programs, you know, back when I was teaching the GRE, now the GRE is like 2 hours, like not even, they just changed that. And I feel like the GRE, they're just like continuing to use something that's not working and just making it less and less and less important, as opposed to being like, let's find a better way to measure these students, which, you know, I have to appreciate the med schools for really caring a lot about what the outcomes are.
Yeah.
No, it's hard for students, but.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it all just keeps boiling down to the money. I don't think it's the end of the world if they have to hop on a computer and do a test for an hour. I don't think it's the end of the world to have to click some buttons in a Likert scale. It's just annoying that you have to keep paying for things. If you do get fee assistance, though, you do get a lot of discounts. So make sure you find out if you qualify for fee assistance. And if you do, make sure you're using that.
Mm-hmm. Fee assistance, definitely for AMC's fee assistance, you get the Preview for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get Preview, you get the AMC materials. Yep. So, or the MCAT materials, which is great.
I'm not aware if there's any fee assistance for Casper.
There is, but I don't know how much it is.
Definitely worth looking into.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, this is the time of year where you should be registered for both of them. Casper opened up just a couple of days ago, so it's open. I see that they have May dates right now, but I would keep checking back. There will probably be more dates added. Preview's been open since January, and if you haven't registered for a Preview date, make sure you do that soon, because those dates do fill up, and you do want to have those tests done by July if you can, because some schools are going to use those as part of the complete and ready for review requirement. So you need to have your scores in by that point. You cannot repeat Casper. You can repeat Preview, although I don't recommend doing that. Even if you bomb it, don't pay the money and do that again.
As we said, right? Guinea pigging a little bit as opposed to.
Move on. It is. But
so,
yeah.
For future people, by the way, so we got the dates in line. We're here today in mid-March, so these tests are happening mid-March and beyond in the application cycle.
And would you both recommend, like, in general in an application cycle, to have all your SJTs done before secondaries? Would that be like a good goal to have for most students?
I tell people it depends on when they're taking the MCAT. If they're taking the MCAT in May, I wouldn't worry about this until after the MCAT. If they're done with the MCAT, then take it as soon as you can.
Cool. That's a good,
I do like the idea of having it before secondaries, because there's that lull. You submit and then you're waiting for secondaries to happen. And that's a good time to sneak this in there before that rush of writing has to start happening in hardcore.
Do you guys know if dates fill up like the way the MCAT dates do? They do?
Preview, yeah. I don't know about
Casper, not as much, but Preview definitely.
So get your dates in early, register early, just so you have it locked in. You're not stressing about it.
It's the classic AAMC thing.
Yeah.
Get the date
Same thing. Side note, has anyone else been confused about why it's impossible to get MCAT dates this year? Like, every single one of my students, no matter where they are in the country, has to be on a wait list for a couple of weeks before they get there. Spot. I don't know what's happening. It's never happened quite. You'll always get a spot, but like, definitely for those that are thinking about MCAT, just register early, because it takes a few weeks now to get a spot, which is the first year this has happened. Usually it's just on the coast, like New York, Boston, and like coastal California is usually the only issues. But this year, for whatever reason, I don't know if there's less seats or there's more people taking it or something, but or more people registering. But what I've noticed is students have to tend to be on a wait list for 1 or 2 weeks before they get the date. They will get your date. Wait lists move all the time, but it's a little stressful if you're waiting to the last minute to register. So, yeah. So I guess register early for all the things is our takeaway.
Yep. Well, that was a fun talk. And I think that hopefully now you know to plan ahead and be prepared for that. So going forward, we're in March now, April, May, June, you should be very busy with your application prep or studying for the MCAT. We'll keep checking back and giving you more tips on how to get prepared for all of those pieces of your application. My name is Joanne Snapp again, and I'm at myhonestadvisor.com and on Instagram.
I'm Amanda Brehm, and I'm from The Brehm Method, founder of The Brehm Method at www.brehmmethod.com and also on YouTube.
And I'm Doug with ICOSA Prep at www.icosaprep.com and also on Instagram.
All right. See you guys soon.